Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Tapes and Scouts.
We're just a bunch of crazy tapes and scouts.
La 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 la. Maxi, Max, Max, Max.
Tim, be a Jedi tonight. Just be a Jedi tonight.
I could do it. I could be a Jedi.
You could.
Trying to move you with my mind.
That's Wonder Boy. How about the power to move you?
Oh. I think that would work better.
Yeah.
You make a very valid argument.
You make a very good young nasty man.
Oh, you. Can't top that. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I am strong, so you should go first.
Then I shall. This is my movie that takes place on Mars. It's called The Last Days on Mars.
Of course it is.
It's from 2013. I watched it on the 5th of December. It may be the 6th of December when we're recording this.
You don't know that.
You don't know that, but it might be.
It might be.
It's an hour 38 adventure horror sci-fi.
It could be the 4th of December when we're recording this.
It's actually the 3rd. Directed by Ruari Robinson.
Of course.
Starring Liev Schreiber, which is all I needed.
Holy shit. Really? He took a movie called The Last Days of Mars. On Mars?
Correct.
Huh.
Elias Koteas.
Oh, wow. Casey Jones?
Yep. And Romalia Garia.
My mind is broken.
Yeah.
Sabretooth and Casey Jones?
Yep.
Wow.
Palling around on Mars.
Holy
bombing
shit.
Around, doing Mars shit.
Okay.
Your IMDb movie summary. A group of astronaut explorers succumb one by one to a mysterious and terrifying force while collecting specimens on Mars.
Hmm.
My bullet points. This is a sci-fi horror mashup that is charting similar territory we have seen. It's got good visuals. Basically, there's like a bacteria thing that starts infecting people, and then you have space zombies.
Okay.
Is really what it is.
So it's Invincible.
Yes.
Okay.
But what I do like is it reminds me of like Dead Space.
Okay.
I mean, the horror is not quite that horrific, but like they're smart. You don't lose your intelligence just because you're a zombie. And these are all scientists. They're smart.
Right.
So, you know, they gain a little strength and they're trying to get in and infect everybody.
Right.
And the violence is wild when it happens. Liev Schreiber is one of the higher up astronauts. He quickly becomes the head.
Right.
Because, you know, and they're on their last couple of days before they get a ship coming down to take them back home.
Oh, it's like a six. Very month. Invincible.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that is when this happens and somebody is killed and they're like, oh, no, he's killed. And then they can't find the body. And then the way the astronauts look when they turn is awesome.
Oh, cool.
They all look very creepy and undead. There's actually some pretty cool scenes when people are turning and they're still kind of themselves, but not really. They start losing their memories. They're like, I can't remember my daughter's name. They like, I can't. Things like that. And you're like, you see them struggling to hold on and then like their pulse will stop. Then they'll come back. It's all very cliche. This is cliche to death. But I like that they tried different things with that same old tired trope.
Right. You have to work in this box, so we're going to try something as close as we can to get to the edges, which is cool.
Right. I think this is way better than the scores will indicate.
Okay.
My wife absolutely hated the ending, but I liked it.
Okay.
So we're divided on that one.
I like that.
There's not a lot I can give you with this one.
No, that's fair.
I think it got bad scores because it's like, oh, this is just like Alien kind of thing.
Sure.
It's like, sure it is, but they're doing little things. Like they're acknowledging like the zombie trope.
Yeah.
And they're doing a bunch of other things as well. I liked it. IMDb gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 62 of them gave it 18%.
Woo.
The audience over Rotten Tomatoes, 10,000 plus.
Okay.
24%.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's not looking good. But I gave it a 6.5 because I really liked it and it had Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
My wife gave it a 5. The fact that my wife did not like the ending and still gave this movie a 5, I think speaks a little better.
Agreed.
Than the other ones. I think people are kind of shitting on it because it's like, oh, we've seen this done better.
Yep.
And I even looked up some of the reviews because I'm like, am I insane? Like, does no one? And
I'll do that too. Look up
and
other reviews.
So many of the bad reviews, you know, still said, this movie's not that bad.
Yeah, I love that.
It's not great.
It's not awful. 5%.
Yeah.
Do you have to be hyperbolic? Like, really?
I guess they do.
Yeah, that's their thing that they do.
Those jerks. What else you got?
2017, To Hell and Back, The Kane Hodder Story.
Ooh.
That's a documentary. I watched it on the nicest day, 6/9/2021. Nice, getting back to it. 1 hour, 48 minutes. It's a documentary, as I already stated. 6/9, nice.
Did directed. You do a movie marathon like I hinted?
No, this is the only other one.
Ah, that sucks.
Starring Kane Hodder, Robert Englund, Bruce Campbell, directed by Derek Dennis Herbert, in case I skipped that, which I think I did.
I think you did.
Two first names and a first name, last name. So three first names.
Can't trust that person.
Movie summary, the biography of Kane Hodder from childhood to stuntman to horror icon.
Fair.
My thoughts on this movie is, all right, so we're dealing with one person, basically. Yep. And we're kind of moving through this whole story temporally. So we're going to go from younger days to his start. And all of that. Kane was famously burned during one of his stunts. They tell that entire story.
Okay.
He told why it happened, what the situation was, the mistake he made, what ended up saving his life. They get as granular as to like talk to the doctors who worked on him in the burn unit.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really impressive how deep they go. And this is something he never really talked about previously. He did a book right before this and they did a documentary to come out alongside the book. And it's a really in-depth look. It's with people he's worked with in the industry, people he worked with really early on, people he went to high school with.
Wow.
It's really surprising how deep and how kind of completist this ended up being. Obviously very engaging. You see Kane break down a couple times when he's talking about different things in his career, which is really cool to see because he's such a tough dude.
Yeah, he's terrifying. He's a big dude.
He's not, if you're not familiar, he's Jason Voorhees, the most anybody's been Jason Voorhees. He's Victor Crowley in the Hatchet films. He was a stunt coordinator before that and a stunt performer even before that. He's kind of been all over the place in Hollywood.
Right.
He knows what's up. He's seems like a very unique and interesting guy. Really easy to get along with. His personality surprised me a little bit. Like, I've seen him in things and like a lot of Adam Green related things I'm familiar with him from, but his personality in front of the camera seemed to be all of that. Like, just honest, upfront, straight shooter, but has a pretty good sense of humor about it.
Nice.
Which is really cool. So after watching it, I wrote down that I have even more respect for what he's done and where he's been, and the fact that he almost died or was like to the point where he wouldn't have been able to function as a human and managed to get back up on the horse and just be like, all right, so light me on fire. This is wild shit.
Yeah. So I love documentaries.
Yeah.
If I could, I would just watch all documentaries. I love it.
It's a really cool story. And like, it's hard to make one person's journey compelling for that long of a period of time.
Right.
And they managed to do that pretty well. I was impressed with it.
Nice.
And you can tell, you're going to be able to tell who the core group of people who watch this are, because the scores, I think, are a little bit the opposite of how yours were.
Yeah.
IMDb gave this a 7.8 out of 10.
Okay.
8 critics on Rotten Tomatoes went back to review this to 100%.
I was going to guess that.
50 plus audience members, would you like to guess what they rated it?
99.
100%. So a little
sounds bit. Like
this is a lot of genre fans who have watched
it's
this.
Like this, Citizen Kane,
Kane Hodder.
Yeah.
Citizen Kane Hodder.
Citizen Kane Hodder.
The perfect movie. It's not, but it's very well done. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
That's awesome.
If you're into horror or you're into stunt work or you're into just a compelling story about somebody who did some shit and seen some shit, it is really a fun watch.
I remember him promoting the book. I saw him at cons around this time.
Yeah.
It was good that he got out there and some new people got to see him.
Yep. Very cool.
All right. Well, I got some movie.
Ooh, a movie.
It's from 2020.
Ooh.
I watched it on the 5th of December.
Okay.
It's 1 hour 43.
Mm-hmm.
Drama sport.
Drama sport.
It's called Ragdoll.
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 I've never heard of this.
Podcast. Directed by Bailey Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Shannon Murray,
mm-hmm.
Stephanie Erb, and Dot Marie Jones.
Okay.
Your IMDb movie summary. Nora is the one who works overtime, helps out her family by all means, and leaves little for herself. She takes out life's hardships at the local mixed martial arts gym, but what happens when her violence extends outside the gym?
Violence.
It's a pretty shitty description, to be honest with you.
Okay.
She's a young woman who likes to work out, likes to stay fit, and I was really worried this was going to be like a girl fight kind of movie.
Sure.
Because so many of those are just, they get trashy. They take away from the sport aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I love MMA as much as maybe not as much as I love wrestling, but you know, I like MMA, and I thought this was going to be I was like, please just be a normal story. Right. That has MMA as the background. And yeah, thankfully. Don't be
sleazy. Yeah.
Thankfully that's what I got.
Nice.
This is very drama. Very, very drama. Basically, her mother is sick with cancer.
Okay.
Definitely her mother is going to pass. So she has been working really hard, multiple jobs, as well as training constantly. That's like the one thing she does for her to afford her medication.
Okay.
And like they're barely holding onto the house, like that kind of a story.
Right.
It just gets very strange and goes some directions I wasn't expecting. And it is just so incredibly surprising with its drama. I was very surprised. So my bullet points, very different take on the girl fight movie, which, again, usually kind of cringy. The drama's top-notch. Characters feel authentic. And that was a big thing. Like, if you're an asshole character, you're a total asshole.
Okay.
You're getting in her face. You're calling her out on her shit. Like, hey, you suck. Why you suck so bad?
Oof.
And it's like gross real world shit. And I feel like you don't always get real world.
Right.
In these movies. Like, there are some women that she works with. One of her jobs is she's a maid at a hotel. And she's fixing up the beds. And, like, she's always on break. She's always falling asleep. She's sure. Not actually a good worker.
Right.
But, like, the other two are just like, bitch, what are you doing? Like, they're all in her shit. They will rat her out.
Right.
Like, it's just everything feels so, and she's just like, I just need to do this job to keep my mother alive.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, I don't give a shit what you got to do.
Right.
You need to go do some work.
Do the job, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong.
Right.
But they're just so.
They're assholes.
But they're also assholes. Yeah. And, like, it's that they're probably the best example of conveying, like, and, like, there's some other cool. Basically, she's called a ragdoll because a ragdoll is the one who trains the fighter who is likely the favorite,
right,
who is going to go somewhere. Like, they don't go quite as hard, like they go a little more limp so you can practice getting the moves in, sure, that kind of thing. They end up having a tournament and she's like, fuck it, I'll enter, because yeah, she's like, she wasn't going to, but then she's like, I'm having a bit of a time, fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, sure.
And that's basically where your movie's going to culminate. But I was super surprised by this movie. I thought it was going to be just bleh,
right,
and I actually really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
But let's see if people agree with me, because you know they don't. IMDb gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 6 of them, gave it 50%.
Okay.
The audience, less than 50 people, which I don't know how that works, because we've had other ones where it was less than 50 people and it didn't rank.
50 minus.
Gave it 93%.
Huh.
So we're all over the damn place.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 7.5. I was very surprised by the drama. I enjoyed the movie. It goes places I didn't expect.
Nice.
And if you just want a drama with a unusual kind of background, backdrop, it's kind of like how Rocky is. Like,
right.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah. So, kind of like that.
It's kind of like that.
2011.
2011.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Watch this 6:10. 2021. It is 1 hour and 52 minutes. It is a drama thriller. The summary of this film: Kevin's mother struggles to love her strange child, despite the increasingly dangerous things he says and does as he grows up. But Kevin is just getting started, and his final act will be beyond anything anyone imagined.
Yeah, this is a heavy. I didn't want to do this one.
Yeah, this is a heavy film.
For sure.
So my thoughts on this movie could have so easily just been a shock feature done in really bad taste.
Sure.
So full spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear about this film, goodbye. This movie culminates in a school-related, like, mini massacre executed by the main character, Kevin. And it came out at a time this was very poignant. I mean, it's still very poignant, right? So, unfortunately.
Sadly.
Yeah. So, this movie could have definitely just been like, we're just going to make this about the act. And, you know what I mean, kind of like make you try to understand the character that did that. It doesn't do that. It pretty much sticks mostly to the perspective of the mom, which I think is really smart. And I think it makes the movie more tense, because even his mother doesn't quite understand him. So it makes the audience kind of question and fear, or at least be hesitant of Kevin through the movie. The movie's also done in a non-linear structure. So it really makes sense. The movie actually starts out after the school shooting and the mom's trying to do a job interview. And they're just like really leery of her because it's like, oh, it's a small travel agency. They're like, yeah, it's really kind of not the image we're looking to put out there. And you're just like, what's happened with this woman that like people seem to be afraid or despise her so much?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not super apparent right away?
No.
It is?
No, it's not. Like, you kind of get the idea that like something weird's going on, and then it jumps back in time, and it doesn't tell you when it's jumping because everything's kind of happened in this relatively small small timeline because you pick it up with Kevin when he's like old enough to talk. So he's probably like in around like 10 years old. And then it kind of tracks him into high school. So you're only talking about a 5 or 6 year period.
Sure.
So there's not like a huge, obviously Kevin changes actors. And I think all the actors who play him do a really good job with that. The young Kevin's really rough. And then obviously Ezra Miller, who will go on to be the Flash, does a really nice job with this as well, being just like awkward and uncomfortable and like has an almost like an Apex Predator kind of vibe to him where he just knows he's in charge of the situation and he's just trying to kind of play with his food a little bit.
That's creepy.
Yeah, he does a really nice job of being very nuanced and scary in the movie. I really like it a lot. But we're kind of pushing away from the bad taste. All of the things that it does, the nonlinear story, the focusing on the fallout and the kind of the results of the mother, both seeing the things that her bad, like she fed into it at times, being a bad parent, but like you kind of sympathize with her because it's like, what the hell are you going to do when a kid does this? You do have to discipline a child.
Right. And parents slip up and say stupid things in front of their kids. Like that happens.
Absolutely. Or you go a little harsh at times and you're just like, I maybe went a little overboard there. Like the emotions get in the way of the, what the maybe quote unquote best way to handle it would have been. Right. And you totally relate to that. And you don't blame the mom at all for a lot of the things, but it's like her kid is, you know, ends up, you end up seeing that the kid is a complete and utter sociopath. So what the hell was she going to do?
Right.
Good, bad, or indifferent, this kid was going to end up doing something horrendous no matter what.
Terrifying.
It's really smart. I think it does a good job of tackling the issues and it ends up kind of making itself a little bit of a masterclass if you want to go and do something that's dangerous and topical and may... it needs to be handled very tactfully. This movie is very good at doing exactly those things without making anyone feel bad or making any, trying to make some people like making him look strictly like the bad guy or making her strictly look like the bad guy. It avoids all of that and just presents things in a way where it's like, you have to really, like you invest in it and you understand kind of all of it. And
that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Cause it's not black and white and you got it. The jumping around seems like the most crucial part to this.
Yeah. It works really well. And it just kind of helps you build the whole story up, and then when you see things unfold, you're just kind of like, it feels tragic and awful, and you just are like left in this void like anyone who is involved would be. So very effective job by the filmmakers on this one. I think IMDb 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 210 critics, 75%.
Okay.
Audience 25,000 plus, 78%.
Wow, I thought the audience was going to be like, I don't want a sad.
Yeah, no, they're okay with a sad. I'm coming in a little bit higher than everybody, and I gave it 8.5 out of 10.
Wow, nice.
Very good. And I know Sam is fond of this one. She's the one who recommended it.
Nice.
So it's very good. I was a little concerned. I know Sam is a Ezra Miller fan, and I was like, I've heard about this movie. It had, because of the timing of when it was going to come out, it had some issues coming out. But I've heard it reviewed favorably by other like video essayists on YouTube and things like that. So I was like, I guess I'll see. I'm sure I won't like it as much. And I ended up really appreciating the job they did. Not that I'm saying it's a good movie to watch. It's very effectively done and handled about as well as they could have, considering the subject matter. Very well done.
Wow. It's a tough movie to make. I remember watching the trailer for this. I was like, I don't want to.
No. And it is hard. And they've done as thoughtful a job as you can, like, as you would hope. Like, this is, they have to tackle it. And, like, it has to be a perfect. And they very nearly hit it. Like, really well done. Really nice. Thoughtful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, folk.
No more talking about Kevin.
No. We're done talking about Kevin right now. Maybe later.
Kevin's not here.
Boop.